Acts chapter 5, stand with us if you would, and I'm going to read a few verses. And we'll talk about the church. Talk about the church. We just had revival. And we'll talk about the church a little bit. I love the church. I love the church building. I love the church property. You know what one of the last things that I try to do is when I'm walking around the church property, I try to make it a point. I don't throw trash out on it. I mean, it's God's property. Y'all ain't got to be ashamed now because we got visitors. They have church up there where they go to. Right. If I was walking around the church property, when I'm walking around the church property, I see trash. I pick it up. I see cigarettes, but I don't like picking up cigarettes. I don't like picking them up. But if I see a cigarette butt, I will pick it up to get it off God's property. Well, I picked up beer cans out of the street, tried to discreetly run back to the trash can so nobody come by and see me with my hand. Amen. That can, you can squash it and hide it pretty well with that bottle. I figured they must not like it neither when they about half full. Throwed it out, praise God. I pray they got sick and puked all over themselves. Amen. The church. I love the church. Amen. Verse number 12 of chapter 5 of the book of Acts. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Just seemed like that's where they hung out. Sound like they might have found him a church building. A place for them to be together in unity. In unity. I'm going to leave that alone. I had a thought run past me. Big fat rabbit, but I'm going to let him go. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. That at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. This is their thoughts. Now listen, today, I don't believe it's here, Brother Darnell, but today in most churches, Brother Reuben, most folk have done got a group together that they feel comfortable with to talk about the pastor. Now they know they can't talk about the pastor with everybody. But John, they can't get this. Everybody in church can't get together. And they know they can't get with you and talk about your pastor. Because that's your dad. All right? That'd be fighting grounds. I'd say, God bless you. Go ahead and bust their eye. Amen. Amen. But there's always a group. Are you listening to me? There's always a group that disagrees. And they've got another group that they're comfortable with hashing things out. Well, let's read on. So they ain't going to get nothing no way. I'm glad it ain't here. I'm glad it ain't here. Thank the Lord. He said the believers, verse 14, we read it already, the believers were the more added to the church, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick in the streets and laid them into the streets and laid them on beds and couches that at the least the shadow of Peter might, passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Father, please help me. Dear God, I need your touch. I need your presence and I need your power. I pray you'd help me for just a few minutes, Lord, as we try to say what you once said, and God, please you and you alone. Help us, I ask you, Lord. God, help me not to look out in the congregation and see people and see faces and let that be effective in my speech. But God, let me just hear from you. I pray, God, that tonight, that, Lord, what you once said will be said. And God, what you don't want said, let it slide. Help me, I ask you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Several things we'd like to look at right here in this text, if we could. As we come together and we see some things that's happening within the church, the things that you don't see happen in our church times, our dispensation, our hour, if you will, you don't see these signs and wonders taking place no more. You don't see those signs was for unbelieving Jews, that they might would believe that the power of God that was able to do these miracles was able to help them in their unbelief. And so in verse 12 it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. It'd be one thing if you just heard about one miracle. It'd be one thing if you heard about two miracles and no more. But the Bible says there was many. I believe that it would be very comfortable for us to say that probably on a daily basis these disciples was going about trying to put this gospel out, and every day something was being done. Every day things happening that these people are looking at and scratching their head saying, wow, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? You know, we as Christians, we look back and we do a lot of quoting, and a lot of the quoting that we do are from preachers and Christians from days gone by. We quote the Wesleys, and we quote the Spurgeons and the Moody's, and we quote old men of God that have they've cut the road back, they've laid the foundations, if you will. And we just walk along behind them, and we're confident of this thing here that what they did worked. We look back, Brother Reuben, I look back telling somebody today about the revival that took place in Burlington. We were talking about that. And actually yesterday I was over here at the hardware store. And I was over here, and I don't know Virgil's last name. I don't know if you know who Virgil is. All I know is Virgil. And Virgil used to own the Radio Shack when it was over here by Belk. You know what I'm talking about? And we were talking about that, and I was telling him about the revival meeting there. I said, and every time I go in there now, he'll make them young boys stand still, and he'll say, preacher, you tell them what happened. And they were standing there, and they wasn't really interested, but I think he's over them, and there wasn't nobody else there, and they had to do what he said. And so I started telling them what happened. And I'm telling them about how God moved, and how in 12 weeks over 1,200 people got saved, and then he'd heard that before. He'd heard it. And that wasn't as effective. You know the gospel ain't near as effective to me and you as it used to be. Remember when you first heard it, boy, it moved on your heart. And boy, I'm telling you, it was exciting to you. And now we go to church and we're not thinking about the gospel. We're thinking about the big Sunday coming up. We're thinking about the big service. We're thinking about Brother Darnell. How's he doing? Or Brother Aubrey had shoulder surgery, and I'm glad he's doing better. Good to see him, but we've got a mind on so many things. Our minds on our job, our minds on the game, our minds on the team, our minds on everything, our minds on the new neighbor, our minds on the people that aren't here tonight, where they at. But it's hard to keep a focus on the thing that's really the most important. On the gospel. It's hard to. And the reason that is because we've let our mind drift and our hearts drifted, and what was near and dear to us whenever we first got married, and Brother Reuben, me and my wife got married, we'd sit so close you couldn't have drove a straight pin between us with a sledgehammer. And now we're sitting, she sits on the couch and I sit in my chair. I try once in a while, I'll slide over there on the couch. She'll say, move over, it's hot. Come on, Sister Coretta, hit me a little bit. And that's the way our heart gets like that with God. I mean, it just used to stir us. But here is this, in this early church right here, there's men that's working hard, fervently, day and night, and they're trying to let a bunch of unbelievers, Jews, if you will, let them know that there's a gospel now that they can trust in solely and wholly in a resurrected Savior, and that if they'll trust in Him, He'll save them.
Amen.
And religion don't have to be trusted so much. We look at this text right here. We see how the miracles are taking place. Chapter number 4 and verse number 7, we look back over there and we see as all these, the high priests and Annas and Caiaphas and John, now he said, we see how whenever they're seeing some things that's taking place in verse number 3, we see in verse number 7 of chapter 4 of Acts, they said, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power? How'd you do that? Where'd you get that kind of power from? People want to know. They want to know. When they see something spectacular happen, they see a fast car. If you're in the race and you see a fast car, you want to know about that motor. You see a big fishing vessel come in with all this big boatload of fish and everything. Where'd you go fishing at? I want to know what kind of bait did you use? Everything. And these chief priests are saying, by what power are y'all doing what y'all doing? Because what they're doing is making a difference in town. You know what? You and I, what we do work to make a difference in town. And it might be if you live in a bigger town than obviously St. Mary's wouldn't be hard, but no matter how big the town is, wherever you are, whether it's where you're in school or on the job or in the town where you live at or wherever you live in a if it's an apartment or wherever you're living at in your subdivision, you should make a difference. Enough that somebody could say, by what power? How do you do that? How do you go through those storms and go through those trials and go through those battles and face them giants and still at the end of the day, you're seeing amazing grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You tell me, I want to know. I want to know how it is you go through what you go through and you're still happy.
Amen.
In the Lord. By what power would you do that? I tell you by what power, man, you're doing it. We're doing it by the indwelling power. It ain't by this flesh. Amen. All I got to have is a car pull out in front of me, I'm doing. I thank God for eternal security. I'd be lost every time I got on the highway. It's getting worse and worse. Amen. Especially with them paving Highway 40 right up here. Me and my wife went up there the other morning, and before we got up there, we didn't even get to the interstate. We like to got in 3 wrecks. I'm talking about people pulling. They pull right out in front of me. I'm slamming on brakes. If it wasn't for them have just roughed up the road, I'd have probably slid into them. Or driving a Ford, they know they got good brakes. Amen. And you stop with them. But we look right here, and we see about this miracle. They said, by what power? Or by what name have you done this? So we see the miracles that they've done, but I want you to look at what they've done right here in verse 13. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. The rest. What do you mean the rest durst no man? I mean this here. They've just been scrutinized. They've just been questioned. They've just been asked, by what power did you do all that? And the rest of them that didn't believe, they said, we ain't joining up. We ain't joining up. Mm-mm. We ain't going to be a part of that. We don't believe it. We don't understand it. Can I tell you some things that makes people not believe you a good Christian? Number one is your life. You know, I mean, I'm honest. I'm going to be honest with you. If I was unsaved, I wish somebody helped me. I don't want to feel like I'm a sitting duck up here. I'm the only one in the building. You ever heard about talking about shooting fish in a barrel? Yeah, that's what I feel like sometimes. I'm right here by myself and everybody got a gun drawn on me. You know, sometimes the life that we live, it ain't no question in my mind of knowing and understanding why folk don't want to be a Christian. I mean, I've seen some Christians, I'm telling you, they was madder than a bulldog that's up in a junkyard just chained up and can't get nothing. Christians. They said there's Christians. I went and visited somebody one time in a hospital, and I'm telling you, for brother, for at least, I was there probably 45 minutes, and it was everything I could do to keep the conversation positive. Now, I'm not a Norman Vincent Peale guy. Okay? I don't believe in the power of positive thinking. But I do appreciate the attitude of a positive Christian. I do appreciate that. It keeps me from getting discouraged. Keeps me from wanting to quit. Hey, keeps me from wanting to go back to where I used to be. I don't have to have the devil make me want to go back to where I came from. There's enough God's people make me want to do that once in a while. I'm just talking about, hey, there's a crowd there that said we ain't joining up with them. I wonder why we got so many people living around us here at this good little church and they won't come. Does any of them know y'all? I don't know them. Do y'all know them? Y'all know some of these folks right here? I mean, have y'all been doing something that y'all they know about and I don't? You see what I'm trying to say? I don't think you have neither. Because I know we're living in an hour, Brother Kyle, when people just, they ain't got to have reason. They just don't want to go. They don't want God. They don't want holiness. They don't want to be saved. They'd rather go to hell. They'd rather be a part of sin, Brother Darnell. They'd rather enjoy their sin for a season. I got a chance to talk with a lady today. I was witnessing to her. And I'm telling you, Brother Mike, I'm telling you, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't think about what a blessing we are in a church. You don't understand what a blessing this church is to you, your church is to you. Until you meet people out there, I was just conversation. I talk about in everyday life how we face giants. If I tell you that we face giants and that's okay, we got to kill that giant and go past him because there's another one the next day and. Or maybe 2 days later, y'all know what I'm talking about. And I said that, and that precious lady had no idea. It went. She said, I don't believe in all that fighting. I said, what fighting you talking about, woman? I didn't ask her that. But Bug Lynn went right over her head. She didn't see the spiritual application to it. And really it just dropped me off in a big deep hole and I couldn't tell where I was at. Hey man, I'm thinking, I don't even know how to help this woman. But you go to a church where you've been taught the Bible. And you get spiritual applications. You understand spiritual applications. And they help you whenever you're facing those giants in school tomorrow. Whether it's temptation or whether it's persecution or whatever the case might be. So we look at this text right here and we see where some of them said, I ain't joining up with them. But I tell you what I am new, said, but the people magnified them. Magnified who? Them disciples. You say, well, I don't think you'll lift up man. Well, I don't think me and you looking at it in right perspective neither. You see, because in my office in there, I've got a plaque or picture, if you will, of this, it's an advertisement of the revival meeting where I got saved at. Now, I am not lifting up the man that was preaching when I got saved, but I sure thank God that he gave his heart to Christ, and I sure thank God that he surrendered to preach, and I sure thank God that he came to Callahan, and listen, that's nothing more than an opportunity for me to get to tell somebody else. I couldn't tell him if he was walking to my office and said, what's this about? I said, let me tell you. January the 27th, 1972, the Lord saved me in this meeting over here.
Right.
It's an opportunity. It's just another time to get to say, well, listen, this guy gave his heart to Christ. This guy surrendered to the ministry. This guy gave his life to Jesus. Now he's a preacher. And I'm telling you, he's encouraged me. I'm telling you, I believe what those folks done was encourage those disciples by saying, hey, we appreciate what y'all are saying. Go ahead and preach on and preach on and preach on and don't quit. I know the church is being persecuted, but preach on. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We don't need to criticize. We don't need to... We don't need to scrutinize. What we need to do is magnify. We need to magnify. I appreciate old Brother Leroy. 75 years old. Oh, my word. I wish you could have heard him preach when he's in his 40s. Wow. Wow. I don't know if I ever seen in my life. I'm not trying to exalt him. I'm just telling you, I'm thanking God for him. I'm thanking God that when he went down there to the went to some seminar somewhere, he's told it before. He went to that seminar and they tell him, says, what you need to do is your presentation is very important. You need to just calmly just give your text and then ask everybody to turn to it, you know. And they said, now go ahead and try that. And he'd get up here. Wow, glory! Let's turn their Bible. They stop him and shut him down and everything. Can you see that? Can you see that? Amen. You know what? You know what's wrong? We got so far away from that. Ain't nobody. What's happening? Going to sleep. The closer you get to sleep, the less you say. Huh? You know what's wrong with the churches in America? They go. And we, hey, help me right here now. And we, the ones that got it right, the ones that ain't never wrong, we think, right? We so scared that somebody might think we a little bit Pentecostal. I ain't saying nothing. They ain't calling me Kenneth Copeland. No, sir. No. They ain't going to call me Jesse Duplantis. Marilyn, what's her name? Marilyn Hickey? Hickey or something like that. I don't know what her name is. Huh? I'm saying we have looked for a legitimate excuse to go to sleep and found it. You know what's happened, Brother Jeff? Literally, in the churches in America on this date, they've gone to sleep to such a degree that if somebody does jump up and shout, that person stands out in the church. And he's become entertainment. I couldn't tell you how many times I've watched Paul Cornett in church and everybody just loved to see Brother Paul shout. Because they knew Brother Paul shout. What's wrong with you shouting? Yeah, well, women ain't supposed to shout. They ain't supposed to gossip neither, but that ain't hold you back none. Well, God bless you. That was free. Amen. Thank you. Listen. I preached on things I couldn't. How many times I've said, please don't bring drinks into the auditorium. How many people have heard me say that? Well, guess what? How many times that stopped? Are you kidding me? We could have supplied the United States Army and Desert Storm with water out of the auditorium of Scandinavian Baptist Church. I'm just saying, it don't make no difference. No. I know that preacher don't like it, but I'm bringing my yoo-hoo in there. I'm talking about the things that should work. Ain't working. Fell asleep. Them folks said, we ain't going to be no part of that. But they was a little remnant that just kept on praising God. And listen, and what they had to do is they had to say, hey, Sunday school teacher, thank you. Thank you, Sunday school teacher. When was the last time y'all come in here and told Brother Mike, thank you, Brother Mike, for teaching us, and thank you for the time that you study. Thank you, Brother Reuben. I wonder, I'm not asking your church folks, I wonder how many times they come up to you and say, thank you for studying, and thank you for being faithful. Thank you for giving yourself. Thank you. But you step out of line, and that secret committee now, y'all ain't going to shout. I might shout myself. As Brother Leroy said, that's my good preaching, ain't it? If I am doing it. I want you to notice, we looked at the miracles they did and how they magnified it, but I want you to notice in verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Wow. Listen. The Lord don't care who comes to Him. For God so loved the world. The world. I hate to bring this up, Brother Reuben. You understand where I'm at. Everywhere I look around, it's like, you know what? Listen, I'm telling you, He only loves you because you're white. He only loves you, Brother Darnell, because you're black. Then there's an Indian over there that the government's paying them to do nothing except wear out a refrigerator so they can throw it out in the front yard and get another one with tax money. And God only loves him because he's red. The Chinese man down there making chicken famosa that could melt in your mouth. And God only loves him because he's yellow. Or so. I'm so sick of this. I'm sick of this. If God so loved the world, then why has there gotten to be out of the mouth of Christians so much stipulation? So much stipulation. He said men and women got saved. I believe it was men and women of everybody from that area. And, just whosoever will. That's it. They brought them. There were some things happened right here. That was kind of an introduction type situation. Verse 15. We better read it. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. Sick folk. Are you listening? Sick folk was brought into the streets and they laid them on beds and couches. Where did they get that from? Well, obviously they've heard about something about that happening before. Huh? I'm just telling you right now, there's some restaurants that I went and ate at that was mighty good, and the only reason I knew about it because somebody had been there before me and ate it there and come back and told me. And so as we look right here in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 6-8, we find out that there was a man that was sick of the palsy, and the Lord told him, he said, hey, in the name of Jesus, get up, walk, take your bed, go wherever you're going, to Walmart or whatever you're going to do, and go down there, you're home. They've heard about this. Somebody's talked about this. They've told them about this. And now they're bringing sick folk that can't get out and can't come to where he is out into the middle of the street and lay them on a bed and lay them on a couch, and God's healing them with the same power that he done way back then.
Amen.
That's why, whenever you and I testify, don't go tell nobody about how bad the Christian life is. Don't go tell nobody about how God saved you. Now you can't go to the movies. Now you can't drink Mad Dog 2020. Now you can't smoke no more dope. Now you can't cuss. Now you can't do all the things that you used to enjoy doing. Hey, friend, I don't want to do none of that stuff no more. Man, he changed me. And one of the changes that he gave me was when he saved me, it made me happy. I'm happy. Hallelujah. I'm happy today. And the sun shines bright. Thank God I'm not looking for trouble. Every time I looked on the news, ever since that debate tonight, they're trying to figure out why Trump said what he said, and why Hillary said what she said, and why Lester said what he said. And I don't care. That don't encourage me. What encourages me is when somebody gets saved. That just sets off my day. If I don't help you, it's because your focal point ain't where it should be. I'm telling you, the devil stole your attention. And when he steals it, you are worthless to God. Worthless. Darnell Robinson has been a friend for a long time. Me today, I was thanking God for him. What? I was bragging on him today with the faith. Not because of the miracles that he's accomplished, but because one day he gave his heart to Christ. And it's just as real tonight as it was way back then. Yeah. I'm telling you, the Bible says right here, he said here's what these people thought. Now you might be a Bible scholar. And this, you might be able to explain this to me better than what I can understand it. But this is just Brother Edward looking at it, okay? So don't tell nobody. Don't rub it down and run the paper now. This is just me thinking. These people had such an utmost respect for the man of God. I mean, they thought for sure, there ain't no way in the world that these disciples right here, the apostles, do anything wrong. They've seen the power of God on them. They've seen signs and wonders take place. They've seen people get healed. They brought sick folk out from their homes that couldn't get out into the street, laid them on the beds, laid them on the couches in the street. They said, if nothing else, when the shadow. Just the shadow. That's what it said. That's how much faith they had. They said, if a shadow of Peter just passing by. Now, I don't believe the shadow of Peter would heal a man. But their faith was so powerful. The confidence, probably what happened was when they done, their kids was little. All they ever heard at the house out of mom and daddy in front of the kids, and I know that's what they hear, is how great the man of God is. I'll never forget Andrew DeMert saying something one time. Bless my heart. I never forgot it. I want you to know I appreciate it. You probably know what I'm going to say. One time, I forget what happened, and I was preaching along stuff like this, and he come by me, he said, "Preacher, I want you to know something." He said, "My young'uns ain't never heard us say one bad thing about you." Amen. Well, you know what? That boy sitting right there loves me. You know what? This boy right here, I thought he used to love me. The other night, he tried to break my ribs. But he loves me. He loves me. And you know what that does? That just builds that love. That builds that confidence. That's my preacher. I guarantee anywhere in town I see him, he'll tell everybody, "That's my preacher. That's my preacher. Brother Chris, me and Brother Chris out here working the other day, digging on that footer, trying to find a septic line. I mean, just working, digging, sweating, talking about the Lord, the goodness of God. Go up there to get us something to eat." I thought, "There, Lord, Brother Chris, if you don't hush, you ain't going to get to eat." Everybody he's seen goes, "Hey, that's my pastor right there. Why don't you come go to the church? You need to come hear him preach over there. What you need?" I thought, "Lord, have mercy." That woman said, "I go to church somewhere." She was scared to death. Hey, man, I'm talking about, they was the men of God that these folks had seen, that they could trust in them to tell the truth and see the power of God on them. And they said, "If we don't see nothing but just a shadow of him passing by, we'll be healed." You say, you think they've been healed? I don't know. You see, that dissecting and all that stuff, that's what got you. You'll make your borderline heretics what it'll do. Yeah. You'll be, Brother East Step said this here, you'll be educated beyond your means. A lot of people studied so much that they're so smart that they forgot who the Holy Ghost was. Slide over and let me sit down. I'm tired. I'm just kidding. I see the blessing, ain't she? If you want me to hurry, we're going to Hardee's. All right. I'm talking about right now. Here's verse 16. "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem." A multitude come out of the cities. That's surrounding cities round about Jerusalem. Bringing sick folks. You know what they found out? Sick folk can be healed. You know what they found out? Sick folk can be healed. Up there, where he lives up in Connecticut, they don't have in-between places like we do here. I mean, now you leave St. Mary, you're in Kingsland, basically. But when you leave Kingsland, there ain't nothing until you get to Folkston. Ain't like that up there. Every time you leave a town, you're in another town. I mean, as far as you want to get in Connecticut, as far as you want to go, you get in Hartford, cities, I mean, just everywhere. Am I right? They were cities around about. The word was spreading. You know what the word was spreading about? Come see a man. Come see a man. You know what people are saying? "We need to tell our kids. I need to tell my brother. I need to tell my sister. Well, I need to go home and tell mom and daddy about this man, I bet." Woo! We need to go tell everybody! I'm telling you, wherever they at, just go tell them and bring them and let God do what God does. You know why that's not interesting no more? You're thinking about everything in the world except God. He said, "Bring sick folks unto them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." Matthew chapter number 9, verse 33. Verse 27. The Bible said, "When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Let me ask you something tonight. Listen. Listen up here. Look up here. Look up here at me. Look up here. Listen to me. Look up here. How bad do you want something from God? Would it be safe for you and I to say that we know we all got a need? We all got some kind of a spiritual need. Are you listening? Look at me. We all got a spiritual need. We need something. How bad do you want it? Are you willing to go where He is? Because if you ain't, you ain't going to get what you're after. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go home from church. And you're going to say, wow, that preacher was dead at 4 o'clock in the morning. He was dry as cracker juice. Didn't nobody get no help. They wasn't nobody around there shouting. They wasn't nobody enjoying it. They wasn't nobody having a good time. And you'll be the only one. You'll be the only one. So how do you know? Because I'm going to tell you something. This is part of history right here. I sat in that building right over there. And that man that preached this past week, in his 40s, I'm telling you, you ain't never seen nothing like it. I seen him soak a suit one night, sweating so hard, preach so hard. He soaked a suit. You could see his suspenders through his jacket. And he got finished singing. I'll never forget it. He got finished. It was the Laney Road Baptist Church. Remember that? Got finished singing. I didn't know it. There was two Pentecostal preachers sitting on the front row. I didn't know who they were. Didn't know nothing about them. He got finished preaching, and he was in the back of the church, and only like he can do, he started singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood." And when he did, both them Pentecostal preachers jumped up and threw both hands up squalling and said something that nobody else in the building understood what they said. Now, here's what me and you would have done. All right. Y'all set it down up there. We don't do that around here. See, what you don't realize is sometimes you've got to be a little bit discreet, use some wisdom, or you become so dumb you'll tear everything up. Did that make sense? Yeah. Remember that so I can write up my Bible. I'm going to put my name by that. Ain't nobody interested in how smart you are. What I'm interested in is how close you are to the Savior. What I'm interested in is, are you bringing people from the cities into the street where Jesus is? Because ain't nobody going to remember your wisdom. One of the smartest Bible teachers that I've ever heard of, he's dead. If I call his name, half of you wouldn't know him. There's another guy that come up under him long by the way. You ain't never heard of him. Just a handful maybe. You see that? Not. But now if I tell you about a man that won souls all his life. If I tell you about somebody like Earl Hughes that just let, you know, water run off his back like water off a duck's back. It matters, Brother Earl. Brother Earl wasn't worried about a thing, was he? He rode that little old Geo about 450,000 miles around this country. Wore the seat out. No wonder he had hemorrhoids so bad. Sitting on cardboard on that thing. Probably, God, it's a wonder he didn't die on it. Hey, man. Listen, you know what everybody said about Earl Hughes? One of the best Christians they've met in his life. I mean, just one of the greatest men of God I've ever met. Paul Cornett. Never wanted to fuss and fight with nobody. Known as one of the greatest prayer warriors you ever crossed paths with. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They brought them people out. They said, hey, you know what it was? They was working to do what the early church had to do. Chapter 4 starts the persecution of the church by those priests. But in chapter 5, we see that real Christians didn't care. They're doing what God's called them to do. Amen. Are you doing what God's called you to do? Or are you trying to make people do like you want them to do? I hope, I'm telling you tonight, I hope people don't turn out like me. You don't know me. I hope they don't turn out like me. I wouldn't want a Christian to be saying, walking along and say, hey, that's a clone of Brother Edward right there. Because I tell you, if you was like Brother Edward, you wouldn't be a whole lot like Jesus.
you'd be like Brother Edwards, what I'm trying to say. I'd rather we'd be like Christ. He's trying to conform us into the image of Christ. 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 Did I mention Jesus? Christ. I say tonight, let's let God work in us. Well, that revival just encouraged me. Really, it did. Old preacher just encouraged me. And you know what? And guess what? 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And guess what? Revival. In 2 weeks, we got a revival meeting schedule. You know what? It might be that that preacher coming might need some encouraging. It might be that that guy coming might just need to see the faithfulness of the saints of God. I guarantee you. He prayed a while ago. You know what he said? Stood up my mind. He said, I thank God this is still a church where God's being worshipped and served. You know, that's the kind of stuff we worry about, don't we, brother? Because we're hearing all the time about how they're shutting doors and shutting doors and shutting doors and shutting doors and selling out and going that way and going this way. And what happened to old-time religion? And what happened to the old-time preacher? The committee and the council and everybody got together and said, we don't want no more hollering. And I told my wife today, after we witnessed that lady, I said, I can tell you right now, she wouldn't feel good at our church. Any place for her to go home. Say, well, did you think she would get right? I don't know. But it ain't worth me sacrificing her. Are you listening? Or him? That boy stood up there and testified the other night. First time that he wanted to testify on his own. Bless my heart. Long way from home in the Marines. Stand up and said, can I say something for the Lord? You bet. You bet. Thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Hey, let's just do what we're supposed to be doing. Persecution is coming, but hey, just let's go on. We've already seen that you can still go forward and do what God wants us to do. Amen. 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 Brother Darnell, pray for us if you would.